Welcome to the conclusion of part two of the Violet Strange Mystery Series. In the last episode, we heard...
Had the idea. The explanation. The only possible explanation covering the whole phenomena come to her at last? It would seem so, for as she so stood, a look of conviction settled over her features, and with this look, evidences of a horror which, for all her fast accumulating knowledge of life and its possibilities, made her appear very small and very helpless. A half hour later, when Mrs. Hammond, in her anxiety at hearing nothing more from Miss Strange, opened the door of her room, it was to find, lying on the edge of the sill, the little detective's card with these words hastily written across it. And now, for the conclusion. I do not feel as well as I could wish, and so have telephoned to my own coachman to come and take me home. I will either see you or write you within a few days. But do not allow yourself to hope. I pray you do not allow yourself the least hope. The outcome is still very problematical. When Violet's employer entered his office the next morning, it was to find a veiled figure awaiting him, which he at once recognized as that of his little deputy. She was slow in lifting her veil, and when it finally came free, he felt a momentary doubt as to his wisdom in giving her just such a matter as this to investigate. He was quite sure of his mistake when he saw her face. It was so drawn and pitiful.
"You have failed," said he.
"Of that you must judge," she answered, and drawing near, she whispered into his ear.
"No!"
he cried in amazement. "Think," she murmured. "Think. Only so can all the facts be accounted for."
"I will look into it. I will certainly look into it," was his earnest reply. "If you are right. But never mind that. Go home and take a horseback ride in the park. When I have news in regard to this, I will let you know. Till then, forget all about it. Hear me, I charge you to forget everything but your balls and your parties."
And Violet obeyed him. Some few days after this, the following statement appeared in all the papers. "Owing to some remarkable work done by the firm of the well-known private detective agency, the claim made by Mrs. George Hammond against the Schuler Life Insurance Company is likely to be allowed without further litigation." As our readers will remember, the contestant had insisted from the first that the bullet causing her husband's death came from another pistol than the one found clutched in his own hand. But while reasons were not lacking to substantiate this assertion, the failure to discover more than the disputed track of a second bullet led to a verdict of suicide and a refusal of the company to pay. But now that the bullet has been found, and where? In the most startling place in the world, in the larynx of the child found lying dead upon the floor beside his father, strangled as was supposed by the weight of that father's arm. The theory is, and there seems to be none other, that the father, hearing a suspicious noise at the window, set down the child he was endeavoring to soothe and made for the bed and his own pistol. And, mistaking a reflection of the assassin for the assassin himself, sent his shot sidewise at a mirror just as the other let go of the trigger which drove a similar bullet into his breast. The course of the one was straight and fatal, and that of the other deflected. Striking the mirror at an oblique angle, the bullet fell to the floor, where it was picked up by the crawling child and, as was most natural, thrust at once into his mouth. Perhaps it felt hot to the little tongue. Perhaps the child was simply frightened by some conclusive movement of the father, who evidently spent his last moment in an endeavor to reach the child. But whatever the cause, in the quick gasp it gave, the bullet was drawn into the larynx, strangling him. That the father's arm, in his last struggle, should have fallen directly across the little throat is one of those anomalies which confounds reason and misleads justice by stopping investigation at the very point where the truth lies and mystery disappears. Mrs. Hammond is to be congratulated that there are detectives who do not give too much credence to outward appearances. We expect soon to hear of the capture of the man who sped home the death-dealing bullet. And that's the end of Problem 2 of the Violet Strange Mysteries.
The next broadcast will start a new episode in the Violet Strange Mystery Series, Problem 3, The Intangible Clue. And if you've missed any past episodes, you can go to Audioboo, Audio Mystery Time account, or better yet, nip over to iTunes and subscribe to the Audio Mystery Time, TYM, series. That's all for now. Bye!